Will you bow your heads with me and pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we approach the throne of grace this morning to find you. Lord, may our eyes be open to see. May our ears be open to hear. And may you and you alone be glorified, dear Jesus, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Little Jeffrey went into his room and shut the door. No one else was home that day, but he shut the door just the same. He didn't want to take the chance on someone seeing him. For once he got into his room and the door was shut, tears started to fall from his eyes. And he couldn't help it. He couldn't stop them. He had worked so hard. He had tried his best. But in the end, he didn't make it on his high school varsity basketball team. And Jeffrey's little world came crashing down. He couldn't believe that his real good best friend and some of the other boys were picked before he was. He didn't make it. Instead, Jeffrey made it to the JV squad. And he joined that team and he gave it. He gave it everything he had. He very quickly became the best player on the JV team. He drove himself to succeed, and he made his coaches take a second look at this young player. There are some things in life that take a second look. There are certain things that you look at, and you're like, you have to look again. They almost take your attention. You find a few of these things in pictures, too. There's a few pictures that really take a second look, like this one at the beach. That one made me look twice when I saw that the first time. Or maybe this next one of, what do you think of this boy's arm? That is quite the arm he's got. Takes a second look. How's he doing that? Well, there's a boy under there, right there, and that's his arm. I believe, my friends, that we need to take a second look in the Bible, too, sometimes. Because there are many people that believe that we find God's grace in the Bible, but that we only find it in the New Testament section of the Bible. They say in the Old Testament you find God being stern and law-focused. To listen to some Christians, it's almost like God's grace started in the New Testament or started in Paul's writings. Now, this last week at Vacation Bible School, we learned about Paul, and Paul certainly conveyed God's love and his grace, both to his time and to all generations since. But there's another prophet in the Bible who, like Paul, teaches us about grace. So this morning we're going to start a two-part sermon on an unusual book in the Old Testament. Let's take a second look at the Old Testament and see if we can find grace in the story of Jonah. So if you want to open your Bibles with me or click on those iPads or iPhones and get your way to Jonah. Now, Jonah is one of those books that can be a little tricky to find, but it's right after Obadiah. So if you can find Obadiah, you're real close to Jonah. You're almost there. But in the Old Testament, a few books in front of Matthew, you'll find Jonah. And if you want to turn with me there. Now, if we took a poll, I probably should have done this at Vacation Bible School, and asked the kids what's the first thing that they think of when you hear the word Jonah in the Bible. What do you think? If we took a poll asking people, what's the story of Jonah about? What would we hear? Well, the first thing we'd hear about is a giant fish or a whale that swallows Jonah. That's pretty much the first thing that comes out. If we talked a little bit more, we'd probably have a few people who'd talk about that prophet who went the wrong way. When God said go to Nineveh, he went the other direction. And both of those answers are true. That is the story of Jonah. But the difficulty comes in that sometimes we lose the true thrust of the story when we focus on only aspects of it. And we need a second look. Because this story in the Old Testament, this is not a book about a fish. We have to move our focus from a giant fish and a reluctant prophet to the God who sent both the fish and the prophet. This is a God story not a fish story. Now, as I said, this week we were learning about Paul, but this morning we're going to see if there's some similarities between the Apostle Paul and the prophet Jonah. We're going to see what we can find that's similar. Now, Paul wrote the book of Romans, an incredible book about God's grace. And in that book, he explains the need for grace by telling about humanity's fallen condition. And he says it very succinctly in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. He says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." How many have sinned? All have sinned. Folks, that means everybody. Of course, Pastor, that's what it means. But I want you to remember, even the most holy, the most perfect person that you can think of on this planet is also a sinner, is also apt to disappoint you, is also someone who needs grace. Now, Paul states it plainly, but Jonah, even though he does not discuss humanity's condition, he uses a story to show it, to reveal it, to illustrate it. He teaches us about human nature throughout the story. So we're going to do a bird's eye scan of the story of Jonah. You can flip through as we go, but I want you to see how human nature is conveyed in this story. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, God tells Jonah, "Go and preach," and Jonah goes the other way. So humanity begins the story by fleeing from God. Also, our first picture of humanity there in chapter 1, verse 2, talks about Nineveh and refers to them as a wicked people, a wicked city. What else do we learn about humanity in here? Well, Jonah gets on a boat, he goes down below, and he falls asleep. So instead of being on the ball and doing what he's doing, he's sleeping. Isn't that what humanity does a lot of? In verse 9, when the storm is raging all around him, he confesses and says that I believe in God. But right on the heels of that, in verse 10, it's revealed to the sailors on the boat that he's disobeyed God. So even though he believes, humanity still disobeys. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, we find Jonah inside the great fish, and when he's there, he's got some time to think. His cell phone doesn't work anymore. His iPad got wet. So he takes some time to think, and he prays. So humanity here is also seen praying to God. And then in chapter 3, Jonah finally obeys. He goes to Nineveh. So humanity can obey in this story. And he ministers, he preaches to the city. So it seems like humanity has come up and is doing great in the story until you get to chapter 4. Sometimes it'd be great if the story ended where it does, but it goes on to chapter 4. And in verse 1, he's angry at God because God decided not to wipe out the city of Nineveh. Jonah, the prophet, but still the human, gets angry. And then in verse 3, he despairs and he prays for death. So what do we see here as we take a bird's eye view of Jonah? The story reveals that humans need help. Amen? This story shows that humanity needs God's grace. Both the wicked Ninevites and the believer Jonah had fallen human nature. Both needed grace. This Old Testament story reveals that everyone needs grace, just like Paul when he wrote the book of Romans and said, "We have all fallen." And that's what Jonah tries to help us see as well. Paul also writes in the book of Romans and tells us that God is the creator of all things. And again, he does it very succinctly. In just a few words, he says, "The creator who is blessed forever, amen." The beginning of his book, he wants us to realize that we came from God's hand. He created all things. And what Paul tells us in Romans, Jonah shows us in the story. Because in the story of Jonah, God is the cause of nearly everything. The only thing he doesn't cause is wickedness. But what does he cause in the story? In verse 9, it tells us that he's the creator of the sea and the land. So he controls both. In verse 12, he sends a storm to come at the ship. And then verse 15, calms the storm. God is in control. Verse 17, he sends this sea creature. Now, we could debate all afternoon what exactly that thing was. I don't know. I'm going to ask someday. But something followed God's command. It wasn't the prophet, but it was some sort of marine animal. Then in chapter 2, what else does God command? He tells that fish to vomit up Jonah. Now, this is more for the kids because I know they love to talk about vomit and stuff like that. I don't know anybody who really enjoys the condition of vomiting, and no one looks forward to that. But as much as I don't like that experience, I certainly wouldn't like the experience of being vomited, right? And it's bad enough to do it yourself, but to be the one who's actually vomited, that's terrible. Can't wait till we get to talk to Jonah about what that was like. What else is God in control of in this story? In chapter 3, verse 10, he forgives Nineveh. Nineveh changed. Humanity answered God's call, and they repented. They sat in ash. They put on sackcloth. And God forgave. But then in chapter 4, again, God's still in control. Jonah's outside the city, a little grumbly, a little angry, and God sends a plant to cover him and shade him up. Jonah's happy. But then God sends a worm. Eats part of the plant. Plant dies. Humanity's angry again. And then as the plant withers away, God sends a hot wind to come upon Jonah. The whole throughout of the story, we see that the Old Testament illustrates what in the New Testament Paul describes, that humanity is fallen and God alone is the creator, that God alone is the answer to sin. In Jonah, in Romans, and in our lives too. But can we find grace in Jonah? Can we find God's grace as we take a second look in this Old Testament book? Well, let's go to Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, and we'll dig a little deeper now. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up to me.'" Right in the beginning of the story, he sends a prophet. Now, why send a prophet to a wicked city if there's no grace? Actually, sending the prophet in the very beginning of the story shows that God has grace, because the people are described as being wicked. It's not that they deserve anything, but God says, "I'm going to send a prophet because I want to save them too." Very next part of the story, Jonah runs the other way. Now here's the question for me and you folks. Does God's grace leave us when we disobey? Does God cast us aside when we're unfaithful? Jonah would scream at us from the belly of a fish. He would scream, "No, no, 1,000 times no." Jonah disobeys. He's unfaithful to his calling. Does God give up on the prophet? No. He gets him in the water. He gets him in trouble there at the sea. And then God sends a fish to swallow him. But that fish, as miserable as an experience as I can imagine being inside a fish, that fish saved Jonah's life. Fish, whale, I don't know what it was. But whatever it was, God sent it to save his life. Right there, another picture of grace. And God heard Jonah's prayer inside that whale and then saved him again and got him up on the dry land. This story shows that salvation is by grace through faith, not by works, both in the Old Testament and in the New. Jonah reveals this just like Paul proclaims it again in Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Paul says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." In the Old Testament, what do we find when we look? In Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Turn with me there. It declares that God is long-suffering. Now remember, Jonah's angry at this point in time. Nineveh's been spared. They haven't been wiped out. You would think that Jonah would be happy, right? He's the greatest evangelist ever. He went and held an evangelism series, and the whole town got converted. And he's outside the city mad. Verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He became angry, so he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious, merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." God is long-suffering, even in the Old Testament. In fact, this verse, verse 2, is a link. It's an allusion back to Exodus chapter 34. So if you want to keep your finger there in Jonah, we'll come back to it. But turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. What's going on in this part of Exodus? This is after Moses has come down. He smashed the Ten Commandments because the people were sinning. He goes back up to God, and God gives the Ten Commandments again. And in the midst of giving this law again to his people, listen to what the Lord says. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, listen to what Jonah said earlier, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. In the midst of giving the law in the Old Testament, God reminds Moses, he reminds you and me, and he reminds Jonah that he is long-suffering. God's declared as merciful and loving, even as he's giving his law. Grace and law aren't opposites. They go together. This is not a cruel, rules-obsessed God that we find in the Old Testament. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, says, then God saw their works. He saw the Ninevites. He saw what they were doing, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said that he would bring. God's grace saves an entire wicked city from wrongdoing. But friends, God's grace wants to go beyond that. And it does it in this story. God does care about how we live. Amen? That's why he sent Jonah to Nineveh. He cares about how we live, but our works cannot save us. Our doing or our not doing does not save us. God's grace is the only thing that can. But God's grace is not just there for our doing of things. God's grace also works in the story of Jonah to save Jonah from not bad doing, but bad thinking. God saved the Ninevites from bad actions. He saved Jonah from bad thoughts. Thinking that God's grace should be limited to only certain people. Do we feel that way sometimes? See, God cares about how we think. And he wants us to understand his love so that we can share it to the world. But our thinking and our sharing, our actions, cannot save us. The story of Jonah shows that God's merciful grace is there for anyone to be saved, both from wrongdoing and from wrong thinking. But then after the story should close there in Jonah chapter 3, after it should end, we find the final question in this Old Testament book, and it's posed in chapter 4, verse 11. Here's the question as God speaks to this angry prophet. He says, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? The question is asked, and it ends the story. Who deserves grace? You see, Jonah was very happy for God's grace in chapter 2. Very happy for God's grace to forgive his sin. But then he wishes for death when God extends his grace to the Ninevites. God's grace, it's good for my sin, but I'm not sure about if it's good enough for your sin. That's what Jonah thought. Is that how we feel sometimes? Very, very happy when God pours out his grace on us for the things we do wrong, but when someone wrongs us, do we allow God's grace to go to them as well? Jonah needed to take a second look at God in order to understand grace. What about us today? The story of Jonah illustrates what Paul declares to us again. Paul and Jonah, hand in hand, both missionaries to the Gentiles. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." The story of Jonah reveals to us what Paul states to us, that no one deserves grace. Can you say amen? No one deserves it, but it is free. Free for all who respond. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Do we need a second look at God in order to find his grace this morning? My friends, if all we see in this story is the story of a fish, we have to look again. Because Jesus Christ himself linked his ministry of saving grace to the story of Jonah. Did you remember that? In Luke chapter 11, verse 29 and 30, Jesus says, "And he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation.'" If all we see when we read the Old Testament is a God focused on rules, it's time to look again. For in the pages of the Old Testament, in the stories of the Hebrew section of the Bible, awaits a second look at a God who loves all people, at a God who created all things. A second look will reveal a God who is so full of grace that he can save not only a city full of sinners, but he can also save a stubborn, narrow-minded hypocrite of a prophet, of a believer. If you have not found this God of grace in the Bible, it's time to look again. Because a second look truly can make all the difference. Jeffrey, that young basketball player who didn't make it to his varsity team, he kept practicing. The next year, his coaches looked at him again, looked at his talent, and he made the team. His senior year, young Jeffrey averaged 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. My son Ethan would tell you that's a triple-double. He went on to play basketball in college. Not only did he make it to college, but he was eventually drafted to play professionally. Little Jeffrey, who didn't make the varsity team, made his coaches take a second look. And maybe we need a second look at him today, too. Little Jeffrey Jordan. You know him better as Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Sometimes a second look in life makes all the difference. My friends, no matter how long you've walked with God, whether you just got started, whether you've been walking with Jesus for decades, or maybe you're still deciding whether or not you're going to walk with him, if our view of God is not based on love and grace, we need to look again. If all we have to share with the world is a list of do's and don'ts, we need to look again. Paul, Jonah, the other Bible writers, they want us to know God. They want us to experience his grace. Paul, the persecutor, the killer of Christians, he understood the power of grace, amen? For it changed him. Jonah, the narrow-minded, disobedient prophet, he had to learn about God's grace to save. And he wrote that story. not a good story about himself, but a great story about God who can save. That grace was strong enough to change Paul. It was strong enough to save Jonah. It's strong enough to help you and me too, just in case you're thinking that you're beyond grace's hand. And that's the story, friends, that we need to know. That's the truth that you and I need to live. Jesus himself said the sign of Jonah would reveal who he is and what he's all about. And Jesus is God, and he's all about grace to save the lost and to change lives. That's the story, friends, the story of grace. It's not just found in the Gospels. It's not just found in the New Testament, but it's in the Old Testament too. It is the story of the Bible. It's the story of our God who loves with a grace strong enough to save. That's the story that Jesus invites you and I to share, to tell the story of how God's grace has changed you and what difference it's made in your life. My friends, the world out there is our Nineveh. Your neighborhood may be your Nineveh. Your school, your workplace, maybe even your family may be your Nineveh. They're out there, and they're waiting. They're waiting for us Jonahs to stop running the wrong way and to share the story of Jesus, of his grace and his love, so that they too can have a second look. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you're willing to have a second look at us. You don't just see us for what we are right now, but Lord, you see what we can be with you. So we praise you for having a second look. And we thank you, Lord, that you tell us to have a second look at you too, a second look in your word. Because we need to see that grace. We need to experience that love, Lord, so that we can share it with all those who desperately, desperately need to hear. Lord, help us to learn this story, to learn it so well of Jesus and his love, so that we can tell it to everyone that we meet. And when necessary, we can even use words. Lord, help us to live it, to live that story so that someone else can find you and find your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those willing to take a second look said, Amen. Amen.